Stay tuned now for Dr. Steven Zelikoff and a program you will not want to miss. Bone Talk. That's Bone Talk with Dr. Steven Zelikoff on 1460 WVOX.
Hi, welcome everybody. This is Dr. Steven Zelikoff, and we're here with Bone Talk. Hope everybody's doing okay on this beautiful sunny day. Our topic today is going to be osteoporosis, and my guest is an endocrinologist, Dr. Nandita Sinha, who is an attending physician and endocrinologist at Montefiore New Rochelle in Montefiore, Mount Vernon. She works in the Department of Internal Medicine and has a specialty in osteoporosis and dealing with the treatment and prevention of this condition, which really affects a lot of people. Dr. Sinha, welcome, and thanks so much for being on Bone Talk.
Thank you, Dr. Zelikoff, for the nice introduction. My name is Nandita Sinha. I'm working at Montefiore New Rochelle and Mount Vernon for past 6 years since I graduated from my endocrinology fellowship. My specialty consists of mostly hormonal disease, diabetes, thyroid, but bone disease is also part of it. So we are going to talk about bone with Dr. Zelikoff today.
So welcome again. Our topic is osteoporosis. Osteoporosis is a condition that affects bones. We think of it as something that tends to affect older people particularly, but it's oftentimes people get confused in terms of hearing osteoarthritis, osteoporosis, osteopenia. There's a lot of words that sound similarly, and our hope is initially to just talk a little bit about what bones are, and then to figure out what osteoporosis is. So can you just give us a little bit of an explanation of what is osteoporosis?
Yeah, so osteoporosis is a Latin word which means porous bone. So as a person ages, they start to lose weight, lose bone mass, and that means that the calcium is coming out of bone and bone is getting weaker. So most of the bone formation occurs during their teenage until, I would say, mid-30s or 40s, and then it starts to go slower in process of bone formation, and there is more bone reabsorption. Initially, there is more bone formation and less bone resorption. So bone loss is something where calcium is coming out of the bone and bone is getting weaker. It may happen more in some people and than other.
So basically what bones are essentially are the building blocks of our skeletons. They're the things that allow us to sort of walk and support the rest of our structure. And they're made out of something called calcium. And the calcium is a mineral that supports the actual bone. And the bones themselves have an outer part, which is like a pipe. And inside there's like a honeycomb almost that works as a scaffold that supports the bones. What happens is that it seems like the calcium is actually the thing that helps support the strength of that bone. And from what, if I could just clarify that, so as we're young, we have the opportunity to sort of add calcium and build up that bone density to make it stronger and stronger so that this way as we get older, we start taking the calcium away, we'll have enough left so we don't end up with bones that are more brittle and more apt to fracture.
Yeah, exactly. And as you said, people get confused with osteoarthritis, which is inflammation of the bone. People may have both together, but osteoporosis is a different medical condition, and osteoarthritis is inflammation of bone causing more bone pain rather than weaker bone.
Now, how common is osteoporosis?
So it is pretty common. Almost like 10 million population of U.S. is affected by osteoporosis. Out of that, majority is female, about 80% female, and 20% are men. About 44 million population suffer from osteopenia, which is a precursor of osteoporosis. So it is just getting progress to osteoporosis, but not there yet.
Now, why are women at a higher risk for osteoporosis?
So that is a good question. There are various reasons. One can be their hormonal protection during their menopausal period, and once they have menopause, they stop getting decline in estrogen level, and that leads to bone loss. Other reason can be they are relatively smaller in size. They have smaller bone mass to begin with. Also, women tend to have longer life expectancy. So as people age, the progression of disease happens.
Now, is this, you had indicated that this happens usually once menopause sort of sets in.
Yeah.
So that's in the people in their 50s, I guess, at the 60s, is when that sort of comes into play. Do people get it when they're younger as well? And what are some of the conditions that can lead to osteoporosis in younger women or younger men as well?
Yeah, some females can develop it earlier. There are certain risk factors. It is both for men and women, I would say. Some of the risk factor includes low bone mass, low weight, usually about less than 60 kilograms, I would say. Certain ethnicity will develop more bone loss. Then how is their calcium store in the body? How is their nutrition? How functional they are? What is their lifestyle? Whether they do enough exercise or no? Whether a person smokes? Smoking itself is not healthy for anything, so bone is one of them as well. It also includes alcohol habit, like if usually a person should not consume more than 2 drinks a day. Also, if it is softer or hard drink has higher risk for bone loss. Again, for smoking, it also depends upon how much a person smokes and for how long a person has smoked.
Okay, so basically things which sort of either impede the absorption of the calcium can go ahead and then do that as well, or anything that would add to somebody developing menopause earlier. I know that the long-distance runners, particularly women long-distance runners and ultramarathoners, will tend to have loss of their menses. Are those patients at a higher risk of osteoporosis as well?
Yes. So lack of activity, but on the other side, if they develop amenorrhea, a condition where someone doesn't get periods for 3 months or more in a row, that imposes risk for osteoporosis. On the other side, if someone is not getting period for physiological reasons, like if they are pregnant or breastfeeding, that does not have such a big impact. But if it is not something physiological, it may happen. There are other certain diseases like arthritis, diabetes. Those patients are more prone to have low bone mass. Sometimes they need to be on steroid for a long time. That is one of the medicine which adversely affects bone mass. And at times people have to be given medicine ahead of time to prevent those bone loss.
Now, mostly osteoporosis is sort of a silent condition, and that we don't really know we have it unless you end up with a fracture or where the bone breaks because the bones have become more brittle. Is there any way that people would know that they have osteoporosis?
Yeah, so it is called a silent disease. People may not realize that they are suffering from this condition. So there are certain things we need to keep in mind. If a person goes to a doctor's visit, they need to let the doctor know what their eating habit is, whether they smoke, they drink, what medication they are on, whether it is affecting their bone, and then doctor can assess their risk of having bone loss, and they can start working up sooner than later. These people should be put on medication if needed and should be screened earlier. The doctor can also look for if there is any changes in the body, like loss of height, any stoop, any signs of any fracture which was not diagnosed before, like vertebral fracture, a backbone fracture, which sometimes people are not aware of they had it.
So basically that the brittler or the softer the bone because of the osteoporosis can lead to fractures, compression fractures in your spine, which can lead to a curved spine, or you can end up with a break in a hip or an ankle or something like that from an inconsequential injury of some sort. Now, when we think of osteoporosis, we usually think of people that are older for the most part. But so much of preventing osteoporosis has got to be looked at, because if we think of the bones and the skeleton sort of as a bone bank, if you will, where we're storing our calcium, so much probably has to do with the diet that people have when they're young. in terms of building up their bones. And you had mentioned before is that we have our peak bone density when people are in their early 30s for the most part, and then we start taking away the bone. So I guess the more calcium we have early on, the better. So what would you tell our younger listeners in terms of how much calcium should they take, and should they also be on vitamin D, which helps with absorption of the calcium? What would you recommend in terms of the dietary aspects for our younger listeners in terms of trying to build up that bone density so they don't run into osteoporosis or osteopenia as they get older?
Yeah, exactly. So the action should start as early as possible until they are bone forming, because it will be hard to replace it later once the body is not capable of producing the bone. So for younger population, they should be very vigilant about what they are eating, what their activity is, if they are getting enough calcium and vitamin D, mostly from the diet. At times, if there is any medical condition or if person cannot get enough enough calcium and vitamin D through their through natural sources, they may need a supplement. So the doctor can assess and recommend some calcium. However, like overdoing of calcium is also not advisable. So it should be better done under supervised setting if they are taking the supplement.
Now, when we think about milligrams, for instance, in terms of vitamin D when you're young, and rather in calcium, how many milligrams of calcium should we be taking when up to age, say, 30 or 35?
Yeah. So for calcium, it depends upon age. Usually from around about 20 years to 50 years, they should take 1,000 to 1,200 milligrams a day. That should be given in a split dose. Above 60, I would say they should take about 1,200 or 1,300 milligram a day. And this supplement or natural source, whatever the source is for calcium, should be taken in a divided doses in daytime. So they should not take all 1,200 at one time, then they won't be able to get absorbed efficiently. Same with vitamin D. The natural source is sunlight, but it is not always possible. Like 10 to 15 minutes of sunlight to exposed area 2-3 times a week should be enough, but at times it is not possible or the weather doesn't permit. In that case, they should have at least 600 international unit when they are less than 50 years of age. And once they are more than 50, they should take about 800 international unit a day.
Now, when people think about calcium, they think about the products they tend to have, and usually that's milk and things like yogurt and cottage cheese and stuff like that. I know that lots of people I know hate cottage cheese, and they're not big yogurt fans, and milk is fattening. And I also have friends of ours which are lactose intolerant. So what do we tell people that either have a lactose intolerance or don't like taking milk or drinking milk?
Yeah, so mostly calcium and vitamin D we recommend to come from a diet, and the richest source for calcium will be dairy product, milk, cheese, as you said. However, sometimes people may not like or they are not tolerant for medical reason. In that case, there are alternates. It is not as efficient as dairy product, but sometimes like orange juice is fortified with calcium. There are green leafy vegetables, bok choy, some of the other green vegetables. They are rich in calcium. So vegetarian source, tofu can be one of the source, can be given as alternate. For lactose intolerance, they can also try taking some lactose pills ahead of time and try dairy. But again, if it is not possible, they can look for soy milk and alternate means of calcium. And again, if it is still not doable, calcium supplement is an option.
Now, for people that are taking calcium supplements, there's different ones that are out there. I know there's calcium carbonate, there's calcium citrate, there's a whole bunch of different ones that are out there. Do you have a recommendation for which one people should take? And when they go to CVS or they go to the drugstore, which one do they pick? And there's a lot of them on the shelf.
Yeah. So calcium, usually calcium carbonate is the most commonly used medicine. It is cheaper. It is more readily available. Some people who have some gastric problem and they can't absorb calcium carbonate, calcium citrate can be an alternative. But again, it should be done after talking to the doctor, although it is available over the counter, but they have to keep doctor in the loop saying what they are taking and if it is enough or not enough.
Okay. And what do they do for vitamin D? I mean, that's something that you can also take supplements for vitamin D as well. Is a multivitamin usually enough, or do you need to be on a supplement for that too?
Yeah, so it can be enough for some people. Again, if certain people do not absorb vitamin D as other people, certain skin doesn't absorb the sunlight as efficiently. So one way to do is, like, the doctor can check for vitamin D level, and if they need higher strength of vitamin D, which is a prescription medicine, it can be given once a week, 50,000 international unit as a pill, and it can be given for few weeks depending upon how low the vitamin D level is, and check at the end. Otherwise, just for maintenance, it can be also be coming from some of the food products. It can come from egg yolk, some fish. They are good source of vitamin D. But if they are taking replacement, there are different strengths, and lower dose is usually available over the counter, or it is in multivitamin. So it depends how low your vitamin D is and what strength is needed.
So it sounds like it's a good idea to go check with your doctor. Now, one of the things with osteoporosis is that by the time it usually shows up on X-ray, it means that usually you've lost over 50% of your bone density. So it's usually, X-ray is not usually a great way of checking for osteoporosis. Now, my understanding is that there's something called a DEXA scan or a dual energy X-ray absorptiometry test that is a great way of testing for people with osteoporosis. Could you tell us a little bit about that, and what are some of the findings that people can get from getting a DEXA scan?
Yeah, it is one of the most commonly used tests to see how strong the bone is and if there is any bone loss in particular bone. It usually checks for all the bone which is more susceptible to fracture, like hip, back, spine. And it is called, it measures the bone density at different part of the body. It is a very low radiation test. About 1/10 of a chest X-ray passes through. The person lies down on a cushioned bench and goes through the test. It is a relatively cheaper test to do. Most of the insurances do cover it. And it, the doctor can decide who needs it at what point. Most of the time, it is recommended for postmenopausal women after age 65. For men, there is no clear guideline, but some societies suggest that it should be done after 70 years of age. And then other risk, high-risk population who might be on certain medication, or they had a fracture with very trivial injuries, those people should get it sooner. They should not wait for 65 or 70 years of age to get the test done.
And assuming that, and the thing that the DEXA scan will show you is whether you have a normal bone density, whether you have osteopenia, where you've lost some bone but it's not fully osteoporosis, or if you have actually have osteoporosis.
Yeah, exactly. So when they do the test, they look at the reading at different sites, as we said, and they compare it with normal bone for a particular age and a profile of the patient. They match it with the gender, with the age, and they give a T score and Z score. Mostly for old, for adults, T score is used, which is comparison of, again, the bone density of normal. And it is given as negative. So anything higher than -1 is normal. From -1 to -2.5, we call it condition called osteopenia. And anything lower than -2.5 is osteoporosis. Again, the person can have osteopenia in one bone and osteoporosis in other, because it is measuring the numbers at different part of the body.
Now, assuming that, and again, we're on the phone with Dr. Sinha of the endocrinology department out of Montefiore, New Rochelle, and where we're very lucky to have her with us today. So say you go to the doctor and you get a DEXA scan and it shows that you have osteoporosis. What do we do at that point, and what are the common recommendations that you would recommend to your patients if they have a T-score that suggests osteoporosis?
Yeah, so once someone has osteoporosis, they are at higher risk of fracture, and that fracture can happen with the regular activity, like bending down to the bathtub. They may fracture bone, which is not normal for someone who has a normal bone density. So at this point, they have to be very careful with fracture, falls. Lifestyle has its own role. We recommend weight-bearing exercise. That doesn't mean that they have to lift the weight. It means that the body part gives support to the leg, like some of the exercises like playing tennis and swimming. Those are some of the activities they can do, walking, running. Then they have to have enough calcium and vitamin D in their diet. Again, optimal level, not too much, not too little, and it should ideally be done with a doctor's help. Also, there are medications which can be given for osteoporosis. One of the commonly used medication is called a class called bisphosphonate. Some patients may know the name Fosamax, which is given like mostly once a week, but it can be given like once a day, a lower dose, once a day or cumulatively once a week. There are injectable forms which can be given every 6 months, every year. There are hormonal therapies for postmenopausal female, which also helps with their menstrual symptoms along with helping with the bone. But that usually is not given for a long time, and it is a low-dose estrogen.
Now, the low-dose estrogens, I know that the good part is that they do slow down the bone resorption. Unfortunately, my understanding is that there's some women that are not a great candidate because of a risk of breast cancer or a previous risk of uterine cancer or something like that. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so again, it is not for all the patients, and the risk has to be reviewed with the patient before starting this treatment. And of course, if they have risk factor, it should not be used. But when it is used, they should be closely monitored for any side effect or any symptoms developing from the hormones, and it should not be used for long. Yeah.
So your starting treatment as somebody that came in to see you would be diet, activity to try to load the bones, exercise, proper lifting and balance techniques to avoid falling and put undue pressure on the bones, and then it sounds like calcium, nutrition, and then probably starting out with either a low-dose estrogen if they're young or just in the perimenopausal period, or alternatively one of the bisphosphonates at this point. It sounds like that's what you're recommending.
Yeah, so lifestyle, that is true for everyone, enough of calcium and vitamin D in the system, that along with medication for some population they need. Most of the time when they have osteoporosis, they qualify for medication. But if it is in osteopenia range, the doctor will see whether someone will get benefited from medication at that point. If they feel like it is going to progress fast and they have risk factors which might put the patient to risk for fracture, fall, they can be started on lower dose of same medication.
Now, the patients that are on medications, how do they get monitored? How often do you need to repeat a DEXA scan, or is there other tests that you do to evaluate to see whether the treatment has been effective?
Yeah, so we can do DEXA scan. It is usually done every 2 years to look at the progress or improvement in the disease. However, clinically also we can check whether patient had any sign symptom in between, like any fall, fractures, or if they need any different medication, if it is working or not working. Sometimes like patients may not tolerate one medication, especially bisphosphonate. Some people may have reflux or acid problem. And if they are not able to take it, they have to look for alternate medication, which can be injection. Like there is a commonly used medication called Prolia, which is given every 6 months. It is an injection. It is done in doctor's office setting, and it is like flu vaccine given twice a year. There is injectable bisphosphonate also, which is given like once a year, again, in the monitored setting. It is not something they will do at home, but it is an infusion. It's once a year, so that is also something some people consider as a treatment option. So there are treatment options. Again, like best thing is to make as much as bone during the time when your body is able to make more and more bone during young age is to prevent osteoporosis over time.
So I think that that's really, really great advice. I mean, it sounds like there are treatments that are out there. So clearly, if you do have osteoporosis, it's important that you see a doctor and that you do take medications to try to either slow down the process of bone resorption or actually build bone. And there are medications that do both. But the important thing is to maintain your balance, avoid falls whenever possible. If you need some type of an assistive device to help with balance, such as a cane, super important that you go ahead and do that. And just get outside and walk. I mean, I think that a loading exercise is so important to sort of load our skeletons and load our bodies as we're walking. But, you know, as we heard from Dr. Sinha before, is that it seems that, you know, so much of this is trying to avoid osteoporosis from coming into play and making sure that we have a great diet when younger, with lots of calcium, vitamin D, lots of exercise to build strong skeletons, because that's the best thing to do. I think avoidance is usually so much better than the cure for any of these. So thanks again to Dr. Sinha. I really appreciate your joining us. I'm Dr. Steven Zelikoff here with Bone Talk. If you'd like to hear a copy of this recording, go to specialtyorthony.com and you can access a copy of this. So thank you again, everybody, and thanks again to Dr. Sinha.